the Council of Century City came to order slowly. Council President Willis, the head speaker of the council, walked slowly to the front of the meeting hall. Bart Willis, tall, eloquent, the most respected member of the council, and at 75, was the oldest. He was the son of one of the original founders of Century City, George Willis, an executive with a computer company who had been trapped along with hundreds of other cars and trucks in the tunnel when the bombs hit.
Order! Order! Well, I'm glad to see you are all so energized tonight. It will serve us well in the discussion we're about to engage in. First item of the evening is Roxon's report on the mission to test the particle beam weapons. Rock, you have the floor.
Thank you, President Willis. Members of the Century City Council, I am here tonight to tell you that the times are changing. Many of you have in the past stated that the Russian occupation forces were just too powerful to take on, that we would only invite complete destruction of our free cities with nuclear attack if we tried to take on the Reds in a full-scale battle. Today, ladies and gentlemen of the Council, I say to you that we can not only take on the Russian armies, all 3 million of their troops, from regular army to Air Force to KGB death squads, that we can not only take them on, but that we can win. And we will win! We have tested the particle beam weapons. Two of them. Myself and a team of only 5 men attacked a Russian convoy of nearly 120 vehicles, including 10 tanks, armored cars, support ground troops numbering at least 500 men, and nearly 100 of the KR-7 transport trucks. We attacked, and when we finished 9 minutes later, not a vehicle was left standing. And I don't mean a tire missing or an axle snapped in half by an exploding shell. I tell you, representatives of the people of Century City, that nothing remained. Just smoke and shreds of metal. I don't have to tell you that this changes everything. With just 100 of these black beam weapons, we could literally take on the armies of Russia and win. The power of these beams is almost inconceivable until you see it for yourself. It is a step beyond atomic weapons, perhaps makes them obsolete. Why, one of these rifles could melt an atomic missile in the air. Not only can we attack against the Reds, but we can now neutralize their most powerful armaments, their N-bombs, with which they've been destroying free American cities at an alarming rate. 4 in the last 2 months. We need many more of these particle beam guns. We must find a way somehow to arm all the free cities with them. Why, just 2 or 3 particle beam rifles in each city could give them unlimited power. Squads could go out and attack whole convoys, take on entire Red search and destroy squadrons. If we could just make more, could just...
Impossible, Rock. It can't be done. My people and I have tested these damned weapons every which way, and damn it, we can't make head nor tail of how the things are constructed. We can't pry them open without risking complete destruction of the weapon, and we can't figure out the energy operation. For the first time in my life, I must confess that I'm totally stymied. According to all our calculations, the weapon is impossible. It can't exist. It must be using some energy source that we haven't even discovered yet. But as for making them, forget it. I'm sorry, Rock, but the only way we're going to have more of these things is for someone to go back and pay a visit to the people who made them, the technicians.
Thank you, Dr. Schechter, Ted Roxon. Rath, please approach the podium.
Rath seemed nervous, breathless, as he took the stand. He was not used to speaking in front of the entire assembly, but these were unusually dangerous times.
I've got some information to reveal that I fear calls for some sort of immediate action. We finished interrogating a captured Russian officer that Rock and his team brought back with them from the attack on the convoy, and we found out that workers from numerous Russian fortresses are being rounded up and shipped to Fort Pavlov, a newly erected, extremely well-protected Red center, some 500 miles to the east. The officer revealed that there is something called Plan Lincoln, which involves these large masses of workers and thousands of minebreakers, which are also being shipped to Pavlov City by the ton. Something big is going on. Exactly what, I don't know. The officer apparently was not privy to the exact purpose of the operation, but I can assure you of one thing. It's bad. Very bad. Rock and I talked briefly before the meeting and had a few ideas. We think this plan involves brainwashing and then arming American slaves to fight the free cities, brother against brother. For those of you who know your history, just like our own Civil War of 2 centuries ago, something must be done. I feel that we must use the particle beam weapons and mount an all-out attack on Pavlov City. Stop this horrendous plan, whatever its exact nature, in the bud before...
No, absolutely not!
Rock?
You know me, Rath. If anything, I'm the man who's always saying, let's get in there and kick ass. But this time I think it would be a terrible mistake to attack, risking the particle beam weapons of which we have only 5, possibly even their capture by the Reds. We don't even know for sure just what the hell is happening inside this Pavlov City. That theory is a good guess, but we both know it's just bull unless it's confirmed by hard facts. We've got to have some real intelligence on the situation inside those walls before we can even think about mounting any sort of attack. We have to know!
Rock's right. We can't risk these weapons. They're too important. If the Reds should get hold of even one at this stage of the game, they might be able to somehow neutralize the beam. For Christ's sake, man, this is the first time in a century that we've been handed the possibility of really hurting the Russian machine.
And from the sound of it, this Pavlov fortress is armed to the teeth. The officer said that they had a place absolutely packed with heavy artillery and a full Air Force squadron ready for just such an assault. Zhabnov, or Kilov, or whoever the hell is hatching this plot, is shipping rubles in by the ton, and they're protecting the place with everything they've got.
Exactly. That's why we can't risk the particle beams. It would be madness.
Or a big strike force. With the firepower they have, they'd make mincemeat of anything we could throw at them. But someone's got to go in. One man might just be able to do it. Get inside, find out what the hell is happening, just what their defenses are, and get that information back.
Rock? Are you?
Yeah, me. I'm volunteering.
Order! Order!
I'm the only one who can. I know the way through that section of the country better than any man in this city. I can get in, find out what the story is, and get out again.
And what of an expedition to get more of the black beam weapons from the technicians?
Have Erickson mount a second expedition. He knows the way, and the technicians know him. Only this time, he can take 20 men and teams of hybrids. They've got to bring back as many of the damn weapons as they can. The technicians had them piled to the rafters in their laboratory.
The council discussed the proposition to mount a second expedition and agreed to bring it to a vote in a remarkably short time, considering their usual habits of debate. The motion carried. As for Rock's volunteering to go to Pavlov City, that was a military decision. Although the council members had numerous objections, and both Rath and Schechter seemed disturbed about it. As the highest-ranking military officer of Century City, Roxon himself had the final say. With much trepidation, they wished him well. But Roxon didn't wait around to hear the eulogies. He was already off to supplies to prepare for the long trek to the brainwashing fortress of Pavlov City. Though he had volunteered for the mission, it wasn't something he would enjoy. Of that, he was sure. There were 4 huge gates to the walled fortress city of Pavlov, one facing each of the 4 points of the compass. At dawn on October 27, 2089 AD, in the driving snow, nearly 500 KGB elite troops under the direct command of Colonel Kilov arrived at the east gate without notice. In their desert half-track carriers, they all came from scattered directions and converged only within sight of the 60-foot-high concrete walls, a maneuver to avoid any attack on the convoy by American free fighters. They found the puzzled fortress guards, high in their machine gun posts atop looming towers, looking down with confused expressions. But all recognized the Death's Head emblem of the KGB on the armored vehicles, and especially the crossed falcon escutcheon of the commander himself, Colonel Kilov.
This is Colonel Kilov of the KGB. I demand entrance under Section 6 of the bilateral agreement between Soviet Army and KGB forces. Ratified December 2010.
What the hell is it? Do you have any idea what time it is? Is the grandfather dead?
No. This is Commandant Peshtro at Pavlov City, Mr. President. I'm calling because Colonel Kilov and some 500 men are here at the city walls demanding entrance.
What? What the hell are you talking about? Go back to bed.
They're demanding entrance, sir. Colonel Kilov is citing Section 6 of the Occupation Regulations or something.
Section 6. I vaguely remember something about that.
Yes, President Zhabnov.
Get my legal advisors right away. I want them here in my room within 10 minutes or heads will roll.
Right away.
Stall them, Commandant. Say anything. I'll get back to you within half an hour.
But what about...
Are you going to let us in? Or must we blow the gates apart?
Forgive us, Colonel. Our orders are not clear.
Then I am giving the order. Let us in.
We are on the phone to Washington, sir.
I will give you 30 minutes. Then my men will begin firing. Under occupation regulations, the KGB has the right, as protector of the Soviet doctrine and enforcer of ideology, to inspect any army fortress at any time. I warn you, I am not the type of man who plays games. That is all.
Kilov settled back in the relative warmth and comfort of the 60-foot black monstrosity of a half-track as the snow began falling heavier outside. It was multicolored flakes, common in the Midwest. Purple, green, orange. Spinning, dropping like flecks of a rainbow. The head of the KGB watched the gate through a periscope. In the power politics of America, Kilov was about to humiliate the president. His thin white lips, narrow as a pencil line, stretched out into as much of a smile as the KGB commander's face ever allowed itself.
What you're telling me, all of you, is that I'm bound by this ridiculous article, nearly 80 years old, to let my mortal enemy, I mean, of course, our distinguished leader of the KGB, into my most important fortress of Pavlov City. Does this mean he has the right to know everything about Plan Lincoln as well?
No, Your Excellency. He has the right only to enter, station troops, check for possible cells of subversion, which comes down to talking with senior officers, receive adequate food and lodging and care for their vehicles, and in 72 hours, depart. He's not required to have access to any classified army documents.
Then what the hell is he up to? To destroy Plan Lincoln? To spy? It doesn't matter. We'll let him into the city. But keep an eye on him and all his damn black shirts. I'll have my men trail every one of them and keep on their heels like goddamn dogs.
Yes, President Zhabnov.
Get me Commandant Peshtro of Pavlov City. Commandant Peshtro.
Speaking.
You are to let Colonel Kilov in and allow him access to the facilities. You are to keep the KGB men on a tight string, keep a record of everything they do, and report back to me the moment they leave. Do you understand? They are not, under any circumstances, to learn of our plans. Do you understand?
Absolutely, Mr. President. Thank you.
Kilov will pay for this insult.
The huge east gate was opened at last, and Kilov and his men rolled in their vehicles, sending up waves of smoke from the diesel-powered engines.
Ridiculous.
Kilov?
The roads, Antonovich, they are not even paved. Where is the self-respect? I tell you, when I'm premier, modernization will be priority one.
Good morning, Colonel Kilov. I apologize for the mix-up earlier. I just wanted to...
Think nothing of it. It is of no matter. We are inside, no?
Yes, Colonel Kilov.
Pestro, are the men beside you all the leaders of this fort?
Yes, Kilov. Section 6 dictates that all commanding officers be present for the welcoming of the KGB.
Excellent.
Colonel?
Antonovich.
Colonel.
Proceed. Tie him up! Proceed with the operation!
Around the fortress, squads of Kilov's KGB commandos were carrying out their operation with clockwork perfection. The communications section were all taken at gunpoint, the radio and telephone operators imprisoned, and Kilov's own men took over control of all incoming and outgoing communications. Nerve gas canisters were hurled into the officers' sleeping quarters, knocking out all 850 men as they slept. Within 15 minutes, the elite forces had managed to completely take control of one of the most heavily protected fortresses in America.
Yes?
The entire city is ours, Excellency.
Excellent, excellent. Casualties?
16 of our men, about 100 of theirs. Most wounded, perhaps 20 dead.
Good. Kill the wounded, round up those on duty, and imprison them. Once the fortress is completely secure, I want you to take 100 men and take control of the mine-breaking facilities. Do not interfere with the operation. Just control it. I will be there shortly to see just what our friend Zhabnov had been up to.
Yes, Excellency. Immediately.
Now, Commandant Pestro. What's that? We are in control. Now just tell me where the records are being stored of this Lincoln operation, and perhaps I will let you live.
Never!
Never? Please do not bore me with a dramatic scene of bravery. I will find the records anyway. My men are already searching for them. Your life means nothing to me, but I would imagine it holds some sort of meaning for you.
Pestro's face twitched with indecision. If he told Kilov anything, Zhabnov would have his testicles torn out. If he didn't, somehow he feared Kilov more.
I'll tell you!
Good. Wonderful. Now, tell me where they are.
You'll find the computer records of progress to date in Sector 7B. The file reports are in the central storage warehouse behind the main brainwashing building.
Now tell me, Commandant. Drink?
No, thank you.
Drink?
Thank you.
So, what are you all up to here in Pavlov City anyway?
Zhabnov's scientists have further progressed in using the mindbreakers to brainwash loyalties. He's planning to brainwash thousands of American slaves across the nation and use these soldiers to attack American outposts throughout the country.
Really? How ingenious. I really didn't think that the fat man had so much imagination. I've underestimated him. But tell me one further thing. Did not Zhabnov also have plans to use this American army against my own KGB forces, knowing that his regular Red Army troops would be loath to fight me? You needn't go on, my dear Commandant. Your stuttering speaks volumes. Guards! Take him out and dispose of him.
You said I...
I said nothing. Let's see. How high are the walls of the city?
60 feet, Your Excellency.
Excellent. Throw him off the wall.
No! No!
Kilov's eyes were narrow as razors. It was sand below. Maybe all the Commandant's bones wouldn't be broken. Maybe he could crawl the 2,000 or so radioactive miles to Washington and get a medal for bravery from Zhabnov. Their conflict had, with this action, moved for the first time into the open. If the doctors did their work in Moscow, there would be no repercussions. If not, all traces of the operation could be eliminated with explosives and blamed on Ted Roxon and the free fighters.
Yes?
We have total control of the fort now, Excellency. Anti-air defense is in place.
Good. Permit only the brainwashing of the American prisoners to continue. I will come shortly to visit the operation.